blessed to have with us a guest speaker, Brother Matt Bowler and his wife Christiane here from California. Brother Matt is a staff member at Lancaster Baptist Church, same location where West Coast Baptist College is, and we are certain that that God has placed Matt here today in His providence to bring us a message that will speak to all of our hearts. No pressure, Brother Matt. Brother Matt and his wife, he had told me, had within the past year moved from Toronto, Canada, where they have began to work at West Coast Baptist College. He works there with youth ministries, and so we're very pleased to have you here, and we'd like to welcome both of you, Brother Matt.
Thank you. It is good to be here this morning. And as Brother Trenipal said, I'm originally from Canada, so don't hold that against me. You might hear me say a few words that might sound a little bit different than what you're used to hearing. I was cheering for the Phoenix Suns, my Steve Nash connection, but I'm sorry he didn't pull through for you. Anyways, we better get on to preaching. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. It is great to be here. I want to thank you and your pastor so much for this opportunity. Thank you for the hotel room and snacks that were in there. It was a blessing. It's a blessing to be here. Luke chapter 17. We'll read one verse. Luke chapter 17, the Bible says in verse 5, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. We'll read that one more time. The Bible says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. That strikes me, I find that rather interesting that the apostles, the disciples, had asked the Lord to increase their faith. The apostles were, no doubt, had seen God do some great miracles. They had been involved with Jesus' earthly ministry, and they had seen God do some amazing things. They had seen Jesus Christ perform many miracles. They had seen Him preach, and multitudes really gathered around Him. And yet they come to the Lord and they ask God to increase their faith. Has there ever come a time in your life where you feel that your faith is rather weak? Have you ever felt that God is doing something in your life and you really don't know what God is trying to do? Maybe perhaps you've gone through some trials or there's some difficult circumstances that you ever ask yourself, what is God trying to teach me through this trial? Why am I going through this difficult situation? Perhaps you, like the disciples, have asked God to increase your faith. You see, there is nothing of greater necessity in the Christian life than living the Christian life by faith. If we would turn to Hebrews, we would read that many men and women who lived by faith. The Christian life is a life of faith, and reality is our faith in God is the cornerstone of all other faiths. The disciples who had been with the Lord recognized their inability to do anything without Christ, and they asked the Lord to increase their faith. In February, we witnessed the Olympics, and the world came to Vancouver, British Columbia. And those athletes, literally, if you do not see the many hours upon days, upon months, upon years of preparation that it takes for them to train for the Olympics. Many athletes are constantly exercising, and they're trying to build their endurance. They're adding to their physical well-being. If athletes are so concerned about their physical well-being, how much more do we as Christians need to add to our faith? We need to increase our faith. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5 says that we are to add to our faith. So the disciples had asked the Lord to increase their faith. Why don't we as Christians ask God to increase our faith? When we are going through difficult trials and situations, we need to have ask God to increase our faith. We need to ask God to give us the faith so that we can overcome our difficult situations. If we're going to increase our faith, I want you to notice, first of all, that it is going to come by the Word of God. An increased faith is going to come by the Word of God. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And if you're like me, I have asked God several times, God, I want to know You more. I want to have a better relationship with You. I want to You to increase my faith. And then one day, it was like the light bulb went on, you know. Have you ever had a moment like that where you're asking God to do something in your life and then all of a sudden it just clicks? In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." If we're going to increase our faith, it is going to come by the Word of God. You see, you don't have to have all of the answers. You don't have to try to figure out what God is trying to do in your life or why you're going through this difficult situation or why you're going through this trial. All you need is the Word of God, and God's Word will increase your faith. The reality is, many believers do not spend enough time with God and His Word. For many Christians, the Word of God is only opened during a church service. Many Christians have not read through their Bible for themselves, and we wonder why our faith is weak. The Bible is the most popular book that has ever been written, but unfortunately, it is often the most neglected. As we are living in this world that is without hope, we as Christians need to be strong in our faith. We need to uphold the Word of God. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." As a Christian, the Word of God is a pretty important book. We must never minimize the importance of the Word of God. I'm so thankful for my childhood and being able to grow up in a Christian home. And my dad always taught me the importance of the Word of God. I was to treat the Bible with respect. I was to bring it with me to church. And to be completely honest, sometimes I wouldn't treat it the way I ought to. Sometimes I'd bring it to church and I'd stick it underneath the pew, or I'd throw it up on the coat rack or something. And my dad would come along and he would show me and teach me that the Word of God is important. It's no ordinary book. You need to treat the Word of God with respect. You need to uphold it. I definitely don't read it enough, and reality is none of us do. But there's just something special about God's Word. The importance of the Bible. The Bible shows us, first of all, God's love. The Bible shows us God's love. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible shows us God's love. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse number 5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The Bible shows us this morning God's love. The Bible shows us how God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come down to this earth. And Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and He came to this earth to die. Jesus Christ, as He lived on this earth, He lived a sinless life. He was perfect. He was a man, but yet at the same time, He was God. And the Bible tells us how Jesus Christ came to this earth for one purpose, and that one purpose was to die for the sins of the world. If we were to look at the sufferings of Jesus Christ, we would see how Jesus Christ was so brutally beaten and bruised and battered for your sins and for mine. And Jesus Christ hung there on the cross, and literally, when He hung there, He took on Himself the sin and the weight of the whole world. Jesus Christ died for you and for me. It's a picture of love. When was the last time that somebody willingly laid down their life for you? When was the last time that someone was willing to suffer such great sufferings for you? But Jesus Christ did that for you. The Bible shows us God's love. But for the Christian, it also shows us how to live. Someone has well stated that the foundation of Christian practice must be laid in Christian knowledge and faith. We must first understand how we receive Jesus Christ the Lord, and then we shall better know how to walk in Him. The Bible shows us God's love, and it shows us how to live. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible tells us as Christians how we ought to live our life. The Bible says that we are not to be conformed to this world. And it's sad to say, but this is exactly the way many Christians are acting today. A lot of times you can't tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm sure it's the case in your church, but in Lancaster, the teenagers, if you put up one of our teenagers against your average teenager in a mall today, there's a huge difference, and there ought to be. The Bible says that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are to become new. We, as Christians, are to be a peculiar people. We're to be distinguished. And the Bible shows us how we ought to live. The Bible really is an amazing book. The Bible is inspired of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Our society teaches and our society tries to belittle the Word of God. But the Word of God, it shows us God's love. It contains the greatest love story that has ever been written. And it also shows us how we ought to live. It is God's message to us. You see, everything that God wants you to know is found within this book. Everything that God wants for your life is found in this book. Every book and every chapter and every verse was inspired by God. And the Apostle Paul says that all these things that happened unto me are in samples, and they are written for our admonition. The Bible was written for our learning. We speak to God through prayer, and God speaks to us through His Word. If we're going to increase our faith, if we're going to continue to grow in grace, it is going to come, first of all, by the Word of God. But secondly, I want you to notice that it is going to cause us to work for God. It will cause us to work for God. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. An increased faith comes by the Word of God, and it will cause us to work for God. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, begin reading at verse 14. The Bible says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Verse 17, if even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. See, James is trying to get us to see here that there's really no point in having faith without works. Of course, we don't work our way to heaven, but as Christians, we are to work. This section of James, he's trying to get them to see that, you know, if you're a Christian, there's a great work that needs to be done. An old country preacher put it this way. He said that there are two parts to the gospel. The first part, of course, is believing it, accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. But the second part of the gospel would be behaving it. And the truth of the matter is, a spiritual Christian will work for God. It should bother you when you see Christians that don't have a desire to work for God. Many have become comfortable in the Christian life. And, we're thankful that God has saved us. And we're thankful for that God has redeemed us. And but we're just going to come to church and we're just going to enjoy the service. No, God has called each and every one of us to do a great work for Him. In James, we as Christians need to prove that we are Christians by our faith. The greatest sin in our churches today across this great nation is the sin of apathy, where Christians just, they don't see the need to do anything. We're just going to hang on until Jesus Christ comes back for us. But that's not the way God intended it to be. There's a great work that needs to be done. I want you to notice the condition of this work is great. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. To be quite honest with you, sometimes the work can be a little discouraging. The condition of the work is great. In Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says in verse number 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The condition of the work is great. Jesus Christ himself said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Reality is today there are over 6.7 billion people on the face of this earth, and countless souls are lost and dying and on their way to hell. And Christ's last command to us was to preach the gospel to every creature. You see, Christ's return is imminent, and we must do all that we can to get the gospel out. We must do all that we can to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You see, the only hope for this country is not a better healthcare system. The only hope for this country is not in a change of government. The only hope for this country, and the only hope for the world for that matter, is Jesus Christ. And if we're going to make a difference in this world, we need to ask God to increase our faith, which will come by the Word of God. But we need to ask God to increase our faith, so in turn, God will give us a desire to work for Him. You might be saying to yourself, I know what my obligation is, but the work is just too great. Yes, I will say, as Jesus Christ said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The work is great, but I say to you as Christians here this morning, my God is greater. And God, if we will allow Him, will give us an increased faith so that we will do a work for Him. It's time that we as Christians start getting busy about the things of Jesus Christ. You see, every time your church has an opportunity for you to go door to door or to invite people, even from your workplace, you can invite people, friends and families. You must do all that we can to get people to the house of God. We must do all that we can to see people saved. You see, the world is lost and dying and on its way to hell. And the truth of the matter is, we don't like the condition that our world is in today, but I would ask you this morning, what are you willing to do about it? What are you willing to do about this work? We need to always be soul conscious. We must always be on our guard and always ready to preach the gospel. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who God is speaking to your heart about talking to your coworker. Perhaps God wants you to share the gospel with your neighbor. Perhaps God wants you to come during a soul winning time at your church. If God is working on your heart, don't ignore God's leading on your heart. The condition of the work is great. But I also want you to notice that the command has been given. The command has been given. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Jesus Christ, of course, is speaking again just before he ascends into heaven. And verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The condition of the work is great, but the command has been given by God. The Bible says that Christ said we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5 that we are to do the work of an evangelist. You see, if there is one thing that Paul was trying to teach Timothy here, it would be to preach the word. The Bible says that we are to preach the word. We are to be instant, in season, out of season. We are to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. The preaching of the gospel this morning is not an option. It's an obligation. The command has been given by God. We as Christians are required by God to share our faith with others. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel." I don't know about you, but I can get convicted every time I read that. Paul was able to say, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel." Paul put every ounce of energy he had into preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must stop at nothing to get the gospel out. We have been given a command by God to do a great and mighty work. And we must do all that we can to see people saved. Are you ready this morning to preach the gospel? In his autobiography, Mahatma Gandhi, a man in history, wrote that during his student days, he studied the gospels and often considered becoming a Christian. He believed that the teachings of Jesus Christ would solve the caste system that was dividing the people of India. So one particular Sunday, he decided to attend a Christian church, and upon entering the sanctuary, he, however, was refused by an usher a seat. And the usher told him that he should go and worship with his own people. Mahatma Gandhi left the service that morning and said, "If Christians have caste differences, then I might as well remain a Hindu." And as far as I know, Mahatma Gandhi never did trust Christ as his Savior. And what a sad story that is. May that never be said of this church. May that never be said of us as Christians. We must do all that we can to try to see people saved. An increased faith, it is going to come by the Word of God. It's going to cause us to work for God. And then thirdly, I want you to notice that it will continue our walk with God. It will continue our walk with God. Colossians 1:23 says, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." When I think of walking with God, when I think of a man that had great faith in God, I automatically think of the Apostle Paul. Paul was constantly in communion with God. He was constantly seeking Christ. He wanted to know God more. He was constantly trying to see people saved. His chief desire was to know God more. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse number 8. The Bible says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and being found in fashion, and being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here Paul is saying, I am pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had such a strong faith in Jesus Christ that nothing was going to stop him. His motivation was that I may win Christ. His ambition was reaching forth unto those things that are before. And Paul's faith was so strong in Jesus Christ that he could continue preaching despite persecution. We will not take time to read it, but 2 Corinthians 11 verses 23 through 27 give us an account of the sufferings of Paul and all that Paul went through, all the trials and tribulations that Paul went through. And yet, everything that Paul went through, that was not going to hinder him from his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And perhaps if you're here today and you might be going through some difficult trial or difficult situation, don't ask God to increase your faith. It should not come to a surprise to us when we go through some difficult situations. Paul said, "Yea, and all that live a godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Paul went through so much, but that was not going to stop him from doing what God had called him to do. You see, if you are going to get serious about working for God, then you need to realize that persecution will come. Many Christians get fearful about getting busy for God because of criticism, or because they might have to lose some friendships. But why don't you just leave that up to God? In Corinthians, Paul has what he described a thorn in the flesh, a trial, a difficult situation in his life. We don't know exactly what that was, but Paul had asked the Lord three times, "Remove this trial from my life. Remove this thorn in the flesh." But God said to Paul, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee." And to be completely honest, that was good enough for Paul. Paul finally realized, you know what? God's grace is sufficient for me. I'm going to continue in my walk with Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue having a relationship with God. I'm going to continue growing in faith. Romans 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." You see, Paul was so consumed with the gospel that nothing was going to stop him. Paul had such a strong faith in Jesus Christ that he was going to continue preaching the gospel of Christ. Paul put his life into the gospel. And to be completely honest, it didn't make a difference if his life was at stake. It didn't make a difference if he was being beaten or shipwrecked. Paul was determined and so dedicated to get the gospel out for Jesus Christ. And Christians here today, it's time that we get back to the old-fashioned faith in Jesus Christ. We need to have faith in God. Paul preached despite persecution, and he also realized that there was power with God's presence. Philippians 3 verse 10, we read it a moment ago, Paul says, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." You see, there is, I believe that there was no greater Christian that accomplished more for God than the Apostle Paul. But even Paul, here he is, he's at the end of his life. He has had a great earthly ministry. He's accomplished great things for God. And Paul is saying, still saying, "that I may know him." Paul still wanted to know God more. He's at the end of his life. His ministry is almost over, and he still wants to know God more. He still wants to increase his faith. You see, Paul realized that he was nothing without Jesus Christ. He was nothing without God's power in his life. And then Paul also pressed for the prize. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 23, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." You see, Paul knew that he had been called by God, And there was nothing that was going to stop him from reaching forth for that prize. He kept his eye on the goal. He kept his eye on the finish line. And he was not going to waver even near the end of his life. You see, if there's any hope for revival in this country, it is going to come from Christians who will have an increased faith, who will have a great faith in God. You see, Paul never came to the point in his life where he could just relax. Paul never came to the point in his life where he could just come to church and just kind of enjoy the service. No, Paul always had a continuing desire to increase his faith and to know God more. And oh, that God may give us some Christians here this morning who will have a desire to know God more, that we would not become comfortable in our Christian life, but that we would have a desire to know God more. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I challenge you this morning to keep moving forward in your Christian life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I don't think that there is anyone foolish enough to say in here this morning that they don't want to please God with their life. They don't want to do what God wants them to do. I think if I were to ask you who would want to please God with their life, every hand would be raised. The Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." So why should we increase our faith? Why should we continue to want to know God more? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. If our faith and trust in God pleases God, then we must do all that we can to increase our faith. We must be continually growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God raise up a great group of believers in this auditorium tonight who will be strong in the faith, who will know what God has called them to do. And this doesn't come, or this only comes about by the Word of God. If you want to know God more, if you want to have a greater relationship with Jesus Christ, it's going to first of all come by the Word of God. And if you're a Christian, it's going to cause you to work for God. And when you near the end of your life and when you come to the end of your journey, an increased faith will continue your walk with God. Oh, that God may God help us to be men and women of growing faith. May we never become comfortable, but may we always be continuing to reach forth unto those things which are before. May we always be continuing to have a greater faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this great congregation of people, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that You would help us as Christians to increase our faith. Help us to never become comfortable where we are spiritually. Help us, Lord, to always be having a desire to know You more. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we'll ask you to stand. There are Christians here today. Perhaps your faith is weak. Perhaps your faith isn't what it ought to be. Perhaps you need to come and ask God to increase your faith. If you're visiting this morning, perhaps you don't have any faith at all. Perhaps you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to know you. God wants to have a great relationship with you. As we talked about earlier, Jesus Christ came to this earth for one reason. Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for the sins of the world. He came to die for you and for me. And if you're here this morning and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, I want to ask you to come forward this morning and one of these men will help you get that assurance of your salvation. As the piano begins to play, if Christian, if you need to come and pray and ask God to increase your faith, why don't you do that this morning? Don't ever become comfortable where you are at spiritually. Don't ever come to the place in your life where you think that you've arrived spiritually. May God help us to always be Christians who will be growing in grace. If you're here this morning and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, I urge you to come. I urge you to come. If I could get saved for you, I would, but that's not the way it works. I promise you, if you take the first step, the next one will be easier. If you do not have faith in Jesus Christ, in God's Son, then why don't you do that this morning? Why don't you come? Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you so much for the opportunity to open your word. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they would not leave this church without realizing their need of a Savior. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring us back here safely tonight. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.